Our scripture is the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We're going to begin reading at verse 6, hear God's holy and infallible word. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Thus far in the reading of God's holy and infallible word, may the Spirit of God take this word and sow it as a seed into the hearts of his people by his grace and for his glory. Beloved in the Lord, our study in Hebrews has taken us now to the 11th chapter, and we are going to consider the life of Abraham as it's outlined for us so briefly in verses 8 through 10, where the writer begins by saying, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Our author recalls for us the history of this great patriarch in the faith, and is one of the many that he has named as examples of those who live by faith. And I want to begin this examination of Abraham that our author gives us this morning as we look at this subject, and remind you that Abraham lived by faith because Abraham was saved by faith. So often you can read some of these passages without the light of all of the rest of Scripture, and it seems as though because of what Abraham did, his obedience, that God sort of chalked that up as something acceptable in his sight, that made Abraham look acceptable to God, something that Abraham did, and because of that he was saved. And the Scripture all throughout says, no, that's not how you're saved. You're saved by grace through faith, as Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 tell us so clearly. A faith that rests on the unchanging and the unfailing promises of God. That's how Abraham was saved. And we read that Abraham believed God. That's recorded in Genesis. It's repeated in Romans and referred to in Hebrews. He believed God, and it was counted to him then for righteous, or he was counted righteous, having received that grace through faith. A faith that rested in the promise of God, that took God at his word. And because Abraham took God at his word, he directed his life accordingly. When God told him to leave, he left. We'll see as we examine this in a moment that he left not knowing where he was going. How many of you have taken a trip like that? Now, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, my husband is that way. He doesn't know where he's going. When we're on a trip, sometimes we take a little diversion and we take, why are you going this way? Don't you know where you're going? Well, we have a general idea where we're going. Abraham didn't have a clue where he was going. God simply said, go from where you're living and from your father's house. In other words, leave your homeland, leave your job, leave its security, leave your friends, leave your family, leave all of your roots behind you, and go, but go to the place that I will show you. And it doesn't say that God told him at that point exactly where he was going, but he told him, go to where I will show you. And because Abraham lived by faith, because he was saved by faith, Scripture tells us he went. He rested in God's infallible word. He rested in the promises of God. And what are those promises if they are not summarized in the salvation that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation from the punishment of sin for those who repent and for those who believe and for those who trust in Jesus and in God's word of promise? Those who do so find that they, like Abraham, have a purpose. And for what purpose were we created by God? Well, there is a very famous declaration of that purpose in our Westminster Shorter Catechism, the larger catechism as well. What's the chief purpose or the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. We get restored to that great purpose through the salvation that comes by grace, and we can then love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength all the days of our life until God takes us home. The purpose of man to love God and live for God was lost by the fall into sin. Sin, with its great escort, misery, has brought punishment and the punishment of God's law upon us. We need to know the greatness of our sin and misery, our old catechism teaches us, in order to know the greatness of that deliverance from which God has taken us, from sin into the grace of his kingdom and life and light eternal. And it all rests on the promises of God. Resting on those promises, receiving them by faith. And that message is a message not only for Abraham, but a message for you, and a message from God that seems to need to go straight to our hearts. We need to ask these questions of our own hearts. Has God become a living reality in my heart, in your life, in your soul? Has he really drawn near to you? Has he manifested his awe-inspiring majesty and glory and had direct and personal dealings with you in the way of grace? Because if he has not done so in the way of grace, he will have dealings with you in the way of judgment in the day that comes when Christ returns. And that's why the Bible throughout has that great message of coming to Christ and coming to God to rest in the promises of God. The prophet Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord in repentance and in faith, resting in the promises of God. And Scripture tells us that Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And that's why our author in Hebrews cites him as an example of faith, as he is illustrating what faith is all about. That's the great purpose of Hebrews, to illustrate faith in the majestic and the glorious Savior whom he has described in the first 10 chapters. Faith in the King of Glory, the one who is at God's right hand. Trust him, believe in him, and the Bible says you'll be saved. But the Bible does say that we must do something then further, and Abraham is the illustration of that. He is the illustration of the life of faith. The illustration of the way of being saved by faith was Abel, who trusted God, and by trusting in him, he was saved. He worshiped him rightly because he trusted in a Savior who, through the shed blood, would come and die for sinners. And that was manifested and typified in the animal sacrifice that Abel offered. And his sacrifice and Abel was received by God because he worshiped by faith. He worshiped by faith in the promise of God. But how does one live in the light of that promise? Abram is that example. Abraham, our father in the faith, lived on the basis of the promise of God every day, every part of his life, with his faults and with his failures, as Scripture gives them as well, because he, like all of us, was not perfected. We're perfect in Christ, but he was not perfect and sinless, nor are we. But our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in the perfect obedience and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're called to live by faith, a life of faith that rests in the promises of God, who, like the psalmist, will call out to God and say, "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Order my steps." The psalmist is using language, poetic language, that simply says, all of my life, my thoughts, my words, my all, help me to do what's pleasing in your sight, to live for the glory of God. And Abraham is the example of that kind of life, because he evidenced by his life that genuine conversion that took place when he was saved by grace. A complete break from the old way of life that was symbolized and signified by the fact that he was uprooted from his old acquaintances, uprooted from all of the familiar things that he had growing up and established in his life. I'm sure Abraham was comfortable in his life. We find the scripture tells us he was wealthy beyond our imagination. So I'm sure that in his comfortable living, he enjoyed where he lived with his family in Haran, but God uprooted him from that. And I think that the evidence of regeneration is that we are uprooted like Abraham from the old way of life. We move, as it were, in response to the call of grace. And it's impossible for anyone who is saved by grace to remain in the old manner of life. We are called to the new life that's in Jesus Christ, a life that demonstrates change and transformation, and a life that now lives in the light of the Word of God. And that's what Abraham did. Notice our text. By faith, Abraham, remember, he's saved by faith. What did he do? And then the author lists all of these things. Look with me at our text, verse 8. He obeyed when he was called to do what? To go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out. Just simple words that the Bible says is an indication of his obedience. His faith was an obedient faith. God told him to go, and he went out. Can that be said of us? Can it be said of what God calls you to do in your family, in your home, in your business, your dealings with others? He calls you to faith and a life of faith that's demonstrated in obedience to his word, so that all is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Thoughts, words, your work, your interaction, are they under the lordship of Jesus Christ? And could it be said of you, God called you to do this and he went out and you did it? Abraham did. He went out not knowing where he was going, and by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Notice he lived in a tent, not very permanent. I've lived in tents for camping experiences. Some of those were pleasant. I think the more pleasant ones when I was about 8 years old. The less pleasant ones were when I was 38 years old. The tent leaks, and the rain comes in, and everybody goes out of the tent into the camper, and oh, what a mess. Would you want to live in a tent for the rest of your life? Think about your home. Think about that comfortable chair you have. You've got one, I've got one. It's got that thing you pull and your legs go up. Maybe you like the couch better than that. That's your chair. How would you like to lug that around on the back of a camel? And then have to put up a tent in a dusty, windswept place like Abraham lived in, where the storms and the sandstorms come. You know, now you're starting to think, oh, I got to clean that. How am I going to clean that tent? You know, I don't think any Dutchman in his right mind would want to live for the rest of his life in a tent. Yeah, it's not a very pleasant thought, is it? Abraham did by faith. He went out living in a tent. And why? Because he was looking for a city that has foundations whose maker is God. Abraham did this by faith because he was resting in the promise that there was an eternal city that he would dwell in with God. He was not camping, as it were, on the experience of living in Canaan as his permanent resting place. He was committed to being a Bedouin, a nomad who would go from place to place. And he was one who could say, my home is not here. It's on, as the hymn writer says, that foreign golden strand. I am a pilgrim here. His pilgrimage was marked by his living in a tent. And mind you, a tent is in no way, shape, or form equal to or equivalent with Holiday Inn. A tent. And he lived in that fashion because he lived on the basis of the promise of God, resting in the promises. Do you live like that? I had a friend in Oregon who told me some stories as he was coming to the end of his life. We met often, and he told a story of how he had survived the German labor camps during the war. He was a prisoner of war. And there was one period for two solid weeks, that my friend had absolutely nothing to eat. They would march them through the fields. The fields had already been picked clean. Nothing to eat, not even to drink. I asked him, what kept you going in that experience? I cannot imagine not being able to eat for two solid weeks. My friend Gabe simply answered, it was just faith. What he meant by that was trusting in God for every day, every breath, and everything. It was his faith in God that got him through that experience, that enabled him to say, God sustained me by grace. That's the way it was with Abraham. When he was called to go out to a place that he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. And that verse, if you read it in the light of Genesis 12, where the promise of God is given, signifies that God demanded supreme place in Abraham's life. I'm first, God was saying. Do what I say, Abraham. His life was no longer his own. It was no longer regulated by self-will, self-love, pleasing himself. He had arrived at a point in life where he might have wanted to enjoy retirement, as many of us have or are looking forward to. You know, being able to just kind of take it easy, rest over here. God didn't call him to that. God called him to an entirely different kind of a life of crucifying the self, living for God, a life in which he was governed solely by the word of God that directed him in all things. And from that point forward, Abraham was a man without a home on earth, but a man who knew that he had an eternal home in heaven. And he was treading the path that was going to lead him there. Every step along the way was a path of obedience to the will of God. Now, how do you get that kind of obedience? You get that obedience by a faith in the unshakable confidence that the living God is at work in your life and that he has spoken, and by an unreserved surrender to his holy will. Each step of your path is ordered by his word. The psalmist in Psalm 119 speaks of that throughout the entire psalm. Let my life be ordered, my path, my steps be ordered by your word. And that can only happen by grace. That matchless grace that comes to us in Jesus Christ, and a faith that receives that grace and rests in that promise. That's the kind of a man Abraham was. living by faith. And the Christian is the only kind of a person who not only can live by faith, but as we see later in this passage of Abraham and all of those who are cited by our author in Hebrews 11, they also died in faith, as it says in verse 13. What does it mean to die in faith? Death is inescapable. I don't think anybody here is going to be able to say it's never going to catch me. We can only expect it. Sometimes it's unexpected, but you have to be ready for death, spiritually ready. And many of God's servants have expected death, and they were prepared well for it. Abraham was well prepared. I've met many a saint who are able to say that they approached death, and as they do so, their faith grew stronger. Because now they knew that death was near, and as they looked towards what was going to come, they realized that nothing is important except their faith in Jesus Christ and what was going to come. And they knew that Jesus Christ had removed the sting of death. They even would welcome death. Many a saint on their journey, at the end of their journey, welcomed death because they know that death simply brought them into the presence of God. That's the faith of Abraham. He died in faith. It's a simple statement, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abraham and the Old Testament saints lived in the firm expectation of the coming of the Messiah. That's the promise of God. Throughout all of Scripture, it began in Genesis. It was spoken of throughout all of the Old Testament, and it culminates in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. But before Christ came, all of those Old Testament saints never knew about Jesus. They knew about the coming Messiah, but they didn't experience it. But they had a promise. They had a promise from God. That's faith, holding on to the promise of God. Death is coming. I'm holding onto the promise of God, was the testimony, consistent testimony of these Old Testament saints. Not having received them, they greeted them afar off. In other words, by the eye of faith, they could see that what God had promised was true. And it says, and they were persuaded of them. Their faith was a confidence that what God promised is going to deliver. God never disappoints. God's promises were so real that their fulfillment was as certain as if they already possessed what God had said. And they embraced them, this passage says, not some cold formalism, yes, I'm a member of the church, I believe in these things. No, but the hearty welcome that comes by faith, the thankful, the joyful appreciation of the things of God, the delight of the believer in the promise of God that says, my God will not forsake me. He loves me with everlasting love, and I rest in that promise now and forever. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, verse 13 and 14 tells us. They didn't latch on to their real estate as if that were the thing for them, but they confessed that their citizenship was heavenly, that they belonged to that realm of the above where Christ reigns and rules. We are not of this world, but we belong to Jesus Christ. And they sought after a country that is heaven, a heavenly home, for which they were prepared by faith. Are you prepared for your heavenly home? Are you looking for your heavenly home? Are you persuaded of your heavenly home? Are you embracing that truth that God's promises that you will have a home? And our Savior even said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Literally, mouth to mouth, words that the Lord Jesus uses, indicating the intimacy of a personal fellowship with Him. We're going to go home to be with Jesus. Abraham believed the promises of God and lived in the light of those promises. You must too. My friend that I spoke of before he died expressed all of these aspects of faith. And he summarized it in one brief statement when death was nearing and it was inevitable, its approach was coming, and he knew it as well. He said to me this, "It's not so bad." That's what we look forward to from our childhood. That's what we're taught. We will be with the Lord. That's the greatest. Is that your testimony of faith? I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. That's the greatest. That's what you hear from the pulpit. That's what you hear in Sunday school. That's what you learn from childhood. But it has to be yours. It has to rest in your heart. Those were the sentiments of my friend who was able to die in faith because he knew, like Abraham knew, that he would be in that eternal home, a city whose builder and maker is God, the one to whom he belonged body and soul for life and eternity. And he entered the presence of God in the fellowship of his beloved Savior because he, like Abraham, was saved by grace. Are you saved by grace? Then you have this blessed hope that will one day be with our Lord. It's that hope that sustains us. It's that hope that thrills our heart. It's that hope that comforts us in the awful wretchedness of difficulties and sorrows in this broken and sinful world. When our bodies give way, when our heartaches increase, when all around us all we see is the wretched effects of sin upon this world and upon us, we have but one hope, one solution. I belong to Jesus, and I'm going to be with him for all eternity. And the glory that will be far outweighs the things that we must endure. That's what it means to be saved by grace. Saved for eternity, to dwell in the presence of Jesus. Many a departing friend and saint has looked straight in the eye of family and friends, and even the domine, the pastor, and said, "Hope I'll see you there. Hope I'll see you there." Amen.